Corinthians chapter 9, look at the last verse of this chapter. It says, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." How many know that God is a giver? And God gives the most awesome gifts that we could ever have. Amen? He is a giver and he likes to give good things. God never gives junk. Amen? And God is not a recycler, he's a creator. And if you need something, he can make it for you. Well, this month of December, I want to talk to you about God's greatest gift. Amen? There was one gift that he gave to us that it's actually a gift that keeps on giving. It's actually a gift that truly one size fits all. Amen? This gift is applicable to any person. And the greatest gift that God gave to us is salvation. Amen? He saved us from destruction. He saved us from danger. He saved us from death. Amen? For a believer in Christ, death is not the end. Death is simply a transition where you go to somewhere else. Amen? But the greatest gift that God gave to us is salvation. It is an unspeakable gift. It is so awesome. Amen? And I would encourage anyone to receive this gift. This gift is available to anyone who will ask for it. Amen? All you've got to do is ask for it. You don't even have to dial a 1-800 number. You don't even have to act. Well, you should act now because you want to act now before later. But what does it mean? What does salvation mean? We talk about, I'm saved. Or I have this salvation. But what does that mean? What does it mean to have this salvation? Well, the word itself, it means deliverance from the power of sin. It means redemption. That's from Nelson's Bible handbook. It means safety, deliverance, soundness. Does those sound like good words to you? Yeah. Amen? Anybody ever face danger? Yeah. Well, the most dangerous thing that entered this world is sin. The most destructive force that ever came into this world is sin. And sin separates us from the life of God and from the light of God. And sin, we don't really understand the effects of sin because some sins we do, we don't see the effects right away. So we don't think that it's that bad. But sin is bad. Sin is a danger. And everyone needs salvation from sin. Because sin does destroy. And so this salvation, and we see many types and shadows of deliverance. Probably one of the greatest ones is when Israel was taken out of Egypt. That was a great deliverance. That is a type of how you and I are saved. We're taken out of the world and we're put into another kingdom. We're taken out of darkness and we're brought into the light. We're taken out of danger and we're brought into safety. Hallelujah. That's what it means, salvation. Amen? It's a powerful word. It's all throughout the Bible. All right? And I want you to turn to Psalm 14, verse 7. Psalm 14 and 7. And because this is such a broad subject, I'm going to pick out some things to focus on. And today, we're going to learn how salvation is a shield. Amen? We're going to make sure that your shield is strong. Because as a warrior, you've got to trust in your shield. And we're going to see how our salvation is a shield to us. It protects us, it defends us, it keeps us safe. Psalm 14 and verse 7, "Oh, that salvation of Israel were come out of Zion when the Lord brings back the captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad. I want you to notice that when salvation occurs, it's a good thing. It's a joyful thing. It causes people to rejoice. Do you realize that in heaven, when one person comes to know Jesus as their Savior, the angels throw a party? They have a salvation party like we have birthday parties. Anytime someone gets saved, there is a group of angels that get together and they have a shouting, glorious singing party over that one person. Hallelujah. And too many people who have been saved for such a long time, they seem to somewhat lose the joy of their salvation. You know, when David sinned, one of his prayers was that you would restore to me the joy of my salvation. You know, we can draw water out of the well of living water with joy. There's a well on the inside of us. Amen? And God wants to put his living water, and we can draw from that living water with joy. So if you have been down about your salvation, I'm here to add some special sauce to it all today. And I want you to get back to the joy of our salvation. Salvation is a personal thing. He invites and delivers you as a person. When you believe in him and call upon him, salvation is personal. It's not for someone else, it's for every one of us. God comes down to, he comes right where you are. He comes in the muck and mire, and he comes and pulls you up and sets you on a rock. Salvation is personal. But because it's personal, doesn't mean you can't share it. It was designed to be shared. Don't keep salvation to yourself. Salvation is joyful. It's exciting. It's good. I'm so glad I was saved. You know, I remember an interview with E.V. Hill. I don't know if some of you know him. He was a TV preacher. And he says, how come you got saved? He said, I'll give you 3 weeks. He said, I didn't want to go to hell. And he kept answering that. He said, I didn't want to go to hell. Hey, man, aren't you glad that you don't have to go to hell? There is a way out of hell. God's given us a ticket out of hell. It is salvation. It is Jesus. Once again, sometimes envisioning myself saying this, it always comes out different than what I see. But it's good. Salvation is of God and the Lord. Salvation refers to a person. There is one Savior. His name is Jesus. Do you realize his name means deliverance? It's about a person. Salvation is a work to be seen and one that God does, and it brings about a noticeable difference when it occurs. You can't tell me that a person is saved and no change happens. When a person is saved, a change occurs. And that change will keep working on them. And they'll keep changing. And they'll keep growing. And they'll keep increasing. When salvation comes, it brings about a change. Salvation starts a chain reaction. You know, I like to clean my sinks with vinegar and baking soda. When you put baking soda and vinegar together, it bubbles up, it fizzes, it cleans all the gunk as it goes down the drain. I love it, but that's a chain reaction. I want you to be excited about salvation. Hey, man, you're alive, not dead. You're not people that can't say anything or can't do anything. Hallelujah, God has touched your life. Yes, glory. We should never be ashamed of our salvation. It is a good thing. It's something that God does. God initiated it. You thought you found God. No, he found you. Salvation is a garment that you can put on and wear. It is the most perfect, It is the most spotless, seamless garment that was specially hand-tailored by God for you. It is a garment that you can put on and wear. Never leave home without it. Amen? Hallelujah. This greatest gift that God gave to us, he gave to the world, our salvation. Go with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. You know, we are in the season of giving. You know, if there's one thing about Christmas is true, Christmas is about giving. Amen? Because Christmas is about Christ. You cannot have Christmas without Christ. Amen? I don't care what anybody else thinks it is about Christ, period. It's not about anything else. And it's about God giving his son to the world. It's about God giving the world the greatest gift of all, Jesus Christ. And anyone who believes on him can receive this gift. You can't earn this gift. We certainly weren't good enough to get this gift. But we got to get this gift by faith. You've got to believe in him. You've got to believe who he is, who he said he was. In Romans 6:23, the Bible says this: "For the wages of sin is death." A wage is something you earn, isn't it? But how many know that salvation is different than a wage? But the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Now, would you rather have something you earn or something God gives you? And just like any gift can either be received or rejected. And there are many who do reject this gift. Amen? But, you know, the gift of God, it is a gift. It is a free gift. It's the greatest gift of all. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse 8. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." Anytime that you start praising a person other than God for this gift, you're wrong. And don't try to make yourself so great because you chose this salvation. It is a gift. It is the gift that God gave to us. And God didn't put his gift under the tree, he put him on the tree. Amen? It is not of yourselves. Take yourself out of this. Just put your faith in God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. A person cannot work to get saved. You don't work 40 years and then get salvation. It doesn't work that way. It can only be received as a gift. So when you want to share this salvation with others, it's just like sharing a gift. Hey, I wanted to give this to you. I wanted you to have this. Amen? You just give the gift and let them open it. Let them do whatever they want with it. Amen? I mean, there's some gifts that go unopened sometimes. But I want you to see that it is a gift. Go to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. He's telling the people here, he said in verse 10, "As every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." God expects us to pass this gift along. See, salvation is not something that you keep to yourself, or we're just going to keep this in our family. No, the gift was not designed. The gift is to be passed on from generation to generation. This gift is good throughout all generations. This gift is good for the young. It's good for the old. It's good for the male. It's good for the female. This gift is good no matter where you came from, no matter where you live, no matter what position you hold. This gift is good for you. But you got to be one that wants to pass on this gift, amen? You have got to share this gift of salvation with others. How do you do that? Tell people how you received it. Tell people what it did for you. Tell people how it changed you. And do it with a smile. And do it in love. Amen? You don't see people at Christmas, now you take this gift or I'm going to... I mean, we don't do that, do we? Well, we don't want to beat people up who need salvation either. It's a gift. And you want to exchange a gift with them. Minister this same gift to others. And the holidays are a great opportunity to do that. You know, give people love. Some people don't have love. You know, sometimes we don't understand what a person goes through, and if we walked a mile in their shoes, our perspective of them might be different. You know, but God offers this gift to the worst of criminals, to the quote-unquote best of people. Just because someone is good and everything is going good, they might need this gift too. Sometimes when things are going good, it's harder to receive this gift because we don't think that we need it. Amen? But we do have a responsibility to give as we have received. Jesus told his disciples, he said, freely give as you have freely received. Amen? He empowered them to do his work, and he sent them out into the world, and part of it is how you live. You may not be in a place where you can have conversations with people, but how you live, how you do things, how you respond in situations, you know, that's ministering the gift. Amen? So salvation is a gift, and it's good. Jesus told a woman at the well, he spoke of a gift of living water. And he told her, he said, if you knew who it was who you were speaking with, you would ask him and he would give you living water. The only thing that restricts a person from receiving salvation is asking. And it is important to make a public confession. Now let's go with me to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. And I'm going to show you how our salvation is a shield to us. You know, what's the purpose? You ever thought about the purpose of a shield? When people would go into battle before there were guns, they would have shields, right? And that shield would protect them from arrows. With that shield, they could deflect a blow with a sword. You know, if all the soldiers together held their shields, they could form a wall. You know, the shield did a lot of things. They would protect, the shield would protect them, the shield would defend them. But you know, God is our shield. Notice what he said to Abraham, who is the father of faith, in Genesis 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am your shield, your exceeding great reward. Did you know that God is your shield? God shields you from the effects of evil. God shields you from demonic attacks. God is greater than the devil. And he who is in the believer is greater than he who is in the world. You've got greater on in you than he that's in the world. So I want you to realize that the devil has been stripped of all of his authority and power. But yet, he still likes to launch attacks, so God knew that it was important that we would have a shield. Notice, he's not only a shield, but he's also a rewarder. This speaks of the Lord as Abraham's king. Amen. So, did you know that God is your king? When you live in a kingdom and you have a grievance, who do you go to? Ultimately, you go to the king. Amen. But as a believer in Christ, we can go to the king anytime we need to. There are no restrictions on us coming before the king, coming before his throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace in the time of need. So God is our shield. He's our protector. He's our defense. He protects, defends, and keeps us safe. And he's also our rewarder. Who's he a rewarder to? Those that what? Seek him. Well, you know, if someone's not seeking God, it's kind of hard for God to reward them. God is looking for active seekers. Ones that are in pursuit of him. They're in pursuit of a relationship with him. Amen? God rewards seekers. This is what the Douay Rheims Bible says. I will protect you and your reward will be great. God was basically telling Abraham, I'm your protector. And you know, aren't you glad that not only does he protect, but he rewards greatly? He is a shield to you. He is present with you. The shield is not something that's apart from you. It was never apart from the soldier. The soldier carried the shield with him. So there's a closeness between us and the shield. There's a relationship between us and the shield. And Christ is the shield of his people. This is what Gill's exposition of the Bible says. Against all their spiritual enemies, sin, Satan, and the world, which being held up in the hand of faith, called therefore the shield of faith, a security against them. Amen. Go to Psalm 84. Psalm 84. This is a powerful passage. Look at verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from who? Them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. You know, in order for your shield to work in your life, you've got to trust in it. You've got to have faith in it. You've got to believe in it. You've got to believe that God is your shield. If you know that God is your shield, does that make you walk differently? Knowing that you're protected, knowing that you have a defense that can't be penetrated, knowing that you have a shield that can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, that means that nothing that Satan can say to you can harm you if you let it. Amen? So, what does the sun do? The sun gives light. It gives warmth. It gives beauty to the creation. Did you know that God is the source of your light? He's the source of light. He is the light of the world. He is a sun and a shield to you. And notice, no good thing will he withhold. No good thing. Say no good thing. No good thing. God's not keeping good things from you. That is, if you're walking uprightly. When our walk is not right, we have mistrusted our shield. When our walk is not right, we have left our shield down here and we have exposed ourselves. All right? Go to, let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 22. 2 Samuel chapter 22. You know, even our police force today, don't they wear somewhat of a shield to protect the vital organs? It's called Kevlar, right? It's called a bulletproof vest. And that vest shields them. Yes, bullets can hit that vest, and they can experience the harm of the bullet hitting it, but they don't get the bullet inside them, amen? It protects their vital organs. Listen, God is your shield, wants to protect that which is vital to you, that which is important to you. He doesn't want that which is important exposed to the enemy. 2 Samuel 22, verse 36. You have also given me the shield of your salvation. And your gentleness has made me great. See, when a person gets saved, before a person gets saved, they are in darkness. They are exposed to the enemy. They are being dominated by the sin nature. Okay? But when they get saved now, God becomes a shield to them. He's the shield of salvation, and he protects them from the harmful effects that they were exposed to before. Okay? And, you know, you've got to walk with your shield. You've got to, every time a soldier went into battle, they had to carry their shield. Some people had armor bearers that would carry their shield for them. But the shield is so important. It's the shield of salvation. Salvation protects you. It protects you from hellfire. Salvation protects you from going down the wrong path. Salvation protects you from sin because you actually are delivered out of the dominion of sin, and you are now brought into the dominion of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If you let it, salvation will protect your speech. Because our words have so much power, both to the positive and to the negative. But you've got to have faith in your shield. Because ultimately, the Lord is your shield. He's your Savior, and His salvation is our shield. It's a protector. It's our defense. The shield will protect you from compromising if you trust in it. The shield will protect you from fear when you trust in it. Fear arrows can't penetrate the shield. You know, when I was thinking about salvation as a shield, obviously, I grew up in the era of watching Captain Kirk. You know, we all know this, and I'm a big fan of the original series, you know, from the 60s. And oftentimes when they would face an enemy, their first response was, "Shields up, Captain." He'd ask Scotty, and Scotty would say, "Shields are up, Captain. They're at the maximum capacity." And when the enemy would try to fire, their shield would be the first line of defense, and the shield would deflect the enemy's fire. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When the enemy comes and tries to fire against you, you've got a shield that doesn't lose in power, that doesn't diminish in strength. You've got a shield. The Lord God is your shield. His salvation is your shield. So our greatest gift is not one that we can't use, but it's one that we use every day. You're going to need your shield to protect you. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Look at your neighbor and say, you are armed and dangerous. Who are you dangerous to? You are a danger to the enemy. Have you ever thought of yourself as a threat to the kingdom of darkness? Oh, I had that thought. No, I'm not going to say that thought. Maybe later. Ephesians chapter 6. And he tells us how to stand and what we've been equipped with. He said here in, we'll just go to verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation. Did you know that salvation is also a helmet? What do you think it protects? It protects your thoughts. Because you know, as a man thinks in his heart, what is it? So is he. You got to protect your thoughts. You got to guard your thoughts. And God gave us a helmet of salvation to do just that. That we can think godly thoughts. The helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. But look at verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith. How are you saved? By grace through what? Faith. So faith is also a shield. The shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. What happens when a fiery dart is quenched? If someone shoots a flaming arrow at you, what happens when that flaming arrow is quenched? The flame goes out. All of its harmful effects are rendered useless and ineffective. All because a shield of faith. Well, how do you use this shield of faith? When Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He'll stand before you and he'll tell you, you're no good. And you hold up your shield. God is good. And that quenches the effects of that arrow. And the enemy will stand before you and he'll say, you can't do anything. And you'll stand up and say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That takes that arrow and renders it, it quenches it, it renders useless and ineffective. The enemy will say to you, you're not going to make it. And you can stand and say, my God is the way. I have a way out. Amen? And you quench that fiery dart that comes to you. So we got to get skilled in trusting in our shield. You know, when you're trusting your shield, your shield is impenetrable. The enemy can't break your shield. There is no weakness in your shield because your shield is the Lord. And as long as you have faith in Him, as long as you are walking with Him, your shield will work for you. And it will protect you. It will defend you. It will hide you. It will keep you safe so that you can do what you're called to do. And this is what our salvation is. Our salvation is a shield. Go to Psalm 18. I thought this was interesting. Psalm 18. Look at verse 34. He teaches my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by my arms. You have also given me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand holds me up, and your gentleness has made me great. Another translation talks about this shield being a shield of victory. What's victory? Every time that you put your faith in the shield of your salvation, you get the victory. Every enemy that comes against you, as long as your faith is in the shield that God gave you, you get the victory. The shield of victory. I like that. Isn't salvation a victory? Yes. Amen. When someone gets saved, that means God won. Hallelujah. Salvation is your victory. God's right hand sustains you and makes you great. God gives you salvation to have victory on earth and to gain an entrance in heaven. You know, we got to walk in our salvation with a different perspective. We've got to walk as the victor, not the victim. Too many people, they walk around as the victim. They want to blame other things for why things are happening in their life. It's always someone else's fault. It's always something else. It's always something else. Never my own fault. But God's given you victory. You are equipped with victory. When you show up, you have the victory. Now we know the story of David and Goliath, don't we? There was this giant who was over 9 feet tall. And for 40 days, this giant would come and he would taunt Israel. He would tell them, just send me out a man that we can fight. If I win, you'll be our servants, but if I lose, we'll be your servants. Isn't it interesting how the whole war waged on one person? And for 40 days, there wasn't a soldier in the camp that was willing to do anything because none of them had confidence in their shield. They were fearful. They stood there intimidated by this giant. And there comes David. I'm going to use this stroller as an example. David was delivering bread, right? Just think of this as a bread cart. Use your imagination. And David came on the battlefield. He was just there to deliver bread. But this was a man who trusted in his shield. This was a man who knew what he was equipped with. This was a man who had faith in God. And he's delivering bread, and he hears this uncircumcised Philistine. And his first thought, as he's delivering bread to his brothers, you know, why did he deliver his bread to his brothers? Because they were loafers. That just came to me. And, you know, he heard this giant talk, like many of you have giants that taunt you. It may not be named Goliath. It could be named fear. It could be named worry. It could be named unquestioning, you know, doubts about your future, how things are going to work out. Whatever your giant is, you know what I'm talking about. And David hears these words, and he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? You know what he's saying? Who is this person that does not have a covenant with God, talking this way about the armies of God? I don't think so. And, you know, David is a smart man. He's not going to get involved in a battle that doesn't have a reward, because David knows that God is not only his shield, but he's also his rewarder. So he asks, he says, now, what's going to happen to the man that defeats this giant? And they tell him, oh, you're going to not have to pay taxes, you're going to be rich, you're going to get to marry the king's daughter. Well, that sounded pretty good, okay? Then David's brother, he had three of his brothers who were soldiers, right? Now, they weren't doing what they were supposed to do, because they were soldiers. They could have fought like David fight, but they didn't, because they didn't have faith in their shield. They didn't trust in their salvation. And man, you got to trust in your salvation. You got to live like you're trusting in your salvation. You got to trust in your salvation like a man who jumps out of an airplane with a parachute. I guarantee you he puts his trust in that parachute. When you don't have anything else holding you up, that parachute, that salvation will hold you up. And you have got to trust in your salvation. You've got to have confidence in your salvation. You've got to know that you're saved. You've got to live like you're saved. You've got to walk like you're saved. You've got to talk like you're saved. You've got to act like you're saved. That means you don't run when the devil's trying to intimidate you. You fight back because you've been fully armed. So David finds out that, hey, this is what's going to happen. So they told King Saul. They bring David to King Saul. He said, I'll fight that giant for you. King Saul says, I'll use Solomon as an example. Solomon, you're just a young boy. You can't do that. You know, and Solomon says, listen, I fought a bear and I fought a lion. I can take down this giant. What did David focus on? He focused on his victories, not his defeats. If salvation is your victory, you need to focus on your victories, not your defeats. Yes, don't mind the experiences that you were defeated. Just don't talk about them. Talk about the ones you won. Amen? Talk about the battles you won. Talk about the great things that God did. Then they try to put Saul's armor. Here, stand up, Solomon. They try to put Saul's armor on David, but obviously he can't even get the ends of his arms out the sleeves. So it didn't work. Thank you, Solomon. Appreciate your help. No, David says, no, I got to do it my way. I have confidence in the name. I have confidence in my shield. I have confidence in my God because they're one and the same. So he went out there, and the giant sees this little boy, this teenage boy, with a stick and a sling. He doesn't have any armor on. See, he trusts in God. He had an armor. The giant just couldn't see it. And so he went out there, and he's, you know, the giant tries to intimidate him. He's at you with the name of the Lord. David knew exactly what his weapon was. See, when you have confidence in your salvation like that, you can face your enemy like that. But when you don't have confidence in your salvation, oh yeah, some people doubt even if they're saved. Well, the Bible says these things are written that you might know that you have eternal life. Listen, I know that I have eternal life. A Jehovah's Witness came to my door one time. And normally I like to talk to them. And I had some time, so I talked to this person. And they were giving me their spiel, and I said, let me tell you something. I said, do you know that you're saved? Do you know that you're going to heaven? They said, well, I'm not sure. I said, well, I know exactly that I'm going to go because these things are written that I might know. And if you don't know where you're going, why would I want what you have? They didn't know what to say. They kind of just stood there and said, we got to go now. I said, see you later. Have a good day. See, when you're confident in your salvation, you're not afraid to share it with others. Oh, that could be a giant for some people. People always blame that. I don't know what to say to people. Well, do you believe God can give you the words? All he needs is a mouthpiece. Just try it in faith and see if God doesn't meet you. So, we know the end of the story, right? David won. David won because of where his confidence was. He didn't win because he was a superior warrior. He won because of his confidence in God. And when you know God is your shield, it's going to change the way you walk. It's going to change the way you live. You know, Gabriel comes to us all the time with things that he wants to get. I'd like to get this, I'd like to get that, just like all kids do. You know what our response is? Pray about it. Yeah, you can ask Gabriel. I don't want him trusting me to provide for him his wants, needs, and desires. Although I am his father, I enjoy doing that when I can. You know what I'm saying? But I want him to develop faith in God because when I'm not around, God will always be there. And you ought to see how that faith of Gabriel's works. I'm telling you, he's got faith in those things. But you got to have faith. You got to have confidence in God. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 33. Deuteronomy. Is this helping someone today? I know that some of you might be sleepy from all the turkey and all everything that you ate. Amen. Hopefully you slept good last night and you can be attentive and alert here. Amen. Because what happens here is you guys get words of life. You guys get words with power that will also help you in life. And it's important to get a hold of these, to let these get in your spirit. And in Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 29. Happy are you, O Israel. Who is like unto you, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of your help? Isn't that interesting? And who is the sword of your excellency? And your enemies shall be found liars unto you, and you shall tread upon their high places. Ooh, I like that. Did you know that your shield is also your help? Where is God a help? God is a help. He's a very present help where? In trouble. Aren't you glad that He gave us the Holy Ghost, which is a helper? The Holy Ghost is here to help you. He's helped you to get into all truth. He's helped you to grow in God. He's helped you to face the enemy. Amen? And I like the effects of the enemy. It says that your enemies shall, another version, the New King James says, your enemies shall submit to you. Your enemies will give up fighting you. And you shall tread down their high places. Salvation is a help to you, and it is the sword of your king. Nothing can get cut through the junk like God's word. Amen? You know, Jesus, He would often answer people's thoughts. And just at that very moment, all of a sudden, people cleared their thoughts up. I can remember when I was at Rhema. And you know, we had a high degree of respect for Brother Hagin. And sometimes there were times where you would see Brother Hagin walking in the halls, you know, and be like, okay, make sure my thoughts are pure. My thoughts are pure. Because he stood in the office of a prophet, you know, and you didn't want him telling on you or anything. Lord, don't reveal that to him, okay? Let's just keep it between you and I. But no, we would do that. But salvation is a help to you. You know, people who do not have the Lord's salvation are defeated by their enemies. Don't let the enemy defeat you. You were not destined for defeat. You are destined for victory. Hallelujah. Salvation helps you when you need it. Every day. Every day. God, listen. The whole point of salvation is Jesus coming to live among you. He wants to live with you. Jesus is not a part-time visitor. You know, when He moves in, He moves all in. And He wants to be involved in every part of your life. And salvation, He needs to be the center of your life. If He's not the center of your life will fall apart. Amen? So when God moves in, he's all in your life. He helps you in trouble. He helps you to overcome. He helps you to triumph in battle. He helps you to clean up when you mess up. Oh, Pastor, why'd you have to go there? Because I have to. There are times when we mess up. We join forces with Carnal Arnold. Not Benjamin Arnold, Carnal Arnold. Carnality, flesh. We get in the flesh. And when we get in the flesh, we are bound to mess up. But God will help you clean up when you mess up. There's forgiveness when you mess up. There's grace when you mess up, but you've got to come and get it. You've got to come and ask for it. You've got to come and repent. See, you know, part of you having faith in your shield is you walking with the shield every day. You go to bed with the shield. You wake up with the shield. This shield is with you. And when we don't walk like we're supposed to walk, our shield doesn't work like it should. Because the shield works by faith. Yes, you may have messed up, but that doesn't mean you're done. God took you out of the toaster before He had to scrape the crust off of you. He got you out of the toaster before it started smoking and flames started appearing. You know what I'm saying? Listen, God can pull you out of the fire. When you mess up, you got to fess up. That's the problem. People who have faith in the shield, when they mess up, they don't fess up. They try to hide it. Listen, don't try to cover your sin. Because when you try to cover your sin, you will not win. Because it will be exposed at the least likely moment you wish it would. So the better you fess up, the quicker the mess is cleaned up. Amen? If you have faith in God and you messed up, then the best thing to do is repent and ask God to forgive you. And guess what? He'll forgive you right there. And then you can move on. Listen, God is not a stationary God. God is a progressing God. He's a moving God. He wants you to get to your destination. He wants you to reach your destiny. And he will do his best to try to stop anything that will conflict with your destiny that he has for you. And when we get off track, he can put us on the tracks. God can rebuild a railway quicker than man can to get the track back on. Then you could be the little engine that could. I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. Amen. So you got to believe that God is your help. God is not out to get you. When you mess up, he's not there to hit you over the head like whack-a-mole. But like Peter, who looked to his circumstances and took his eyes off Jesus and he started to sink, he'll be right here so that you won't go under. But it all depends on your faith. The faith that you have in God as your help. Say, God is my help.
God is my help.
Say, God wants to help me. The question is, do you want him to help you? That's the question. Because sometimes you got to let go of some things in order for God to help you. You got to let go of some attitudes, some mindsets, in order for God to help you. And you got to put your trust in the shield of salvation, which is the Lord God Almighty. Amen? You know, God will help you to live and walk upright. He'll help you to be bold and holy. Those are good things that he wants from us. Amen? Go to Psalm chapter 3. Psalm chapter 3. We're almost finished for today. I want you to know that God is your shield. Look at verse 3, Psalm 3:3. But thou, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. Isn't that awesome that when you fall, he'll lift you up?
Yes.
He is your shield. He is your savior. He is your healer. You got to know that your shield is a person.
Yes.
It's the Lord. And he is personally a shield to you. When the enemy comes at you, you know what the Lord says? He'll go, you can't touch this. Amen? That's what he does. He is a shield for you, your glory. You know, when I walked in this morning and I saw this yellow, it reminded me of the glory of God. And when we put our faith in God, he will share his glory with us. He will cover us in his glory. Like this podium is covered, I think it's covered with the glory of God. You know, there are some that need to change their ways. And until you change your ways, you will not be blessed. You will not be protected. You will be exposed to the enemy. And you'll wonder why things aren't working. It's because you refuse to change. Now, whoever that's for, you take it because it's going to help you. Because there'll come a point in time when you won't be able to change. You know, you can call on the Lord. If he is your shield, you can call on him, you can know him, you can walk with him, you can serve him, and you can live for him. Let's do this thing together. This is what God is saying. He doesn't want you. Jesus said, I can do nothing of myself. Jesus, who was perfect, who committed no sin, couldn't do anything of himself. He trusted in God, his shield. When Jesus walked into a crowd and he was amongst people who didn't agree with him, that wanted to, do you realize his first sermon, they wanted to throw him off a cliff? How was your first sermon? Oh, they wanted to throw me off a cliff. Good preaching, man, good preaching. But see, he had such confidence in God that he could, people could come at him and kill him, and he could go, you know, just walk away. And they'd be like, where'd he go? He was hiding behind the shield. See, when you have faith in the shield, the enemy could look for you, but he'll never find you. Because there's another scripture that says the shield is your hiding place. Hallelujah. Go to Psalm chapter 5. Psalm 5. Verse 12. For you, Lord, will bless the righteous. Notice all these are in conjunction with the righteous, the upright. With favor will you compass him as with a shield. What does it mean to compass? It means to surround you. Woo! You go to the mall and you're surrounded with favor. Do you see yourself surrounded with favor? Say, I'm God's favorite. Every one of us is God's favorite. Everyone who puts faith in Jesus Christ, you're God's favorite. And he surrounds you with favor like a shield. Woo! I got favor on me. I got favor around me. You walk into a place knowing that favor is around you. You wake up in the morning with favor around you. I can't help but be blessed today. I don't care what side of the bed you woke up on. That's better than saying, nah, 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 nah. You can say, oh, it's morning, oh Lord, or you can say, oh Lord, it's morning. All depends, amen. Go to Psalm 119, 114, and then we'll close. Psalm 119, 114. I wanted you to see this. Psalm 119, 114. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Hallelujah. His shield is your hiding place. It's your safe place. You can go, when you're disturbed about something, you can go into your safe place and find comfort and peace. It's your hiding place. As you hope in his word, as you expect his word to operate in your life. You know, Zacchaeus, well, let me go to one more place. I want you to go to Luke 18. Luke 18. And we're going to close with this. Verse 9 says, and he spoke this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. This is what religion does. Religion makes itself self-righteous, and it bases its belief on the behavior of others. God doesn't want you to compare yourself with others. He wants you to compare yourself with the Word. How do you line up with the Word? Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, the other a publican. It was a tax collector, an IRS agent. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, He used his Pharisee voice. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. Justified means saved. Rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. So to humble yourself means you trust in the shield of your salvation. You don't want to compare yourself with others. Because unless you walk a mile in their shoes, you don't know what they go through. You don't even know what's in their heart. So we cannot compare ourselves with others. But you know what? That tax collector, he just wanted God's mercy. And guess what? He didn't compare himself. He just got God's mercy. The other guy didn't. You know, the other guy was not justified. If you compare yourself with others, you're not going to be justified. Amen? But that publican received salvation. That tax collector. Because he cried out to God in sincerity. You know, God is genuine. He's sincere. And he knows when people are just putting on a show. And God is looking for a sincere group of people in his body today. Those who trust in his shield. Those who walk in confidence with God as their shield. Amen? So God wants to help you today. God wants to strengthen you today. God wants to lift you up today. God wants to give you joy today. Amen? I believe that there are some here that need to renew their commitment with their shield today. Amen? Let's get reacquainted with the God who is our shield, the God of our salvation today. Amen? It doesn't matter what you're dealing with. It doesn't matter where you're coming from. But today is a day to get reacquainted. Today is a day to draw near to God. Amen? He said, draw near unto me, and I will draw near unto you. So if you're here today and you need to just draw near to God, you need to come up here and you need to receive his touch. You need to receive his protection. You need to receive his help. You need to receive his strength. You need to receive his directions in your life today. Come and embrace the shield of your salvation today. In the name of Jesus. Father, I give you thanks and praise that you're moving by your Holy Spirit right now. Lord, I thank you, Father, that you are tugging on people's hearts and you're drawing them closer to you in the name of Jesus. God's going to change your walk and he's going to change your talk. Hallelujah. Because God loves you. Oh, we give you thanks and praise. We magnify you, Lord Jesus. We bless your holy name. Hallelujah. I'm going to give you an opportunity to come, then we're going to pray for you. Amen. And you're going to feel the strength of your shield that covers you and protects you and surrounds you in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your anointing, your moving of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your power, Lord, and we just bless you today. Just have your way in these people today, Father. Touch them with the anointing of God. Oh, as you've come to embrace your shield today, you're going to experience his protection and power like never before in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Father, I thank you for ministering to her in Jesus' name by the power of your Holy Spirit. No one else can do it. Oh, let your focus be solely on your shield today. Oh, as he puts his arms around you, Know that he loves you and he cares for you.
Bring me back to you.
Oh, Rabakasanda, Rabakata. He'll help you to overcome. So, Rabakasanda, Father, just touch him with the anointing right now. In Jesus' name. Like a gentle wind today. Father, just touch her right now as she embraces you as her shield, as she has confidence in you, Father. Lord, you impart to her your strength and your glory. In the name of Jesus, Father, her enemies are defeated. In Jesus' name, and she will trample on the high places. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Rabakasanda, a reconnection with the God of the living. Why look for the living among the dead? Oh, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, be his shield and help him overcome. Strengthen him, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, help him defeat the enemies, the distractions that have beset him, Father. And just, Lord, make him walk on the firm, safe path of righteousness. Father, I break every addiction in the name of Jesus. I break it now by the power of the Holy Ghost. And I thank you, Lord, that you have made him free. Free, free, free. Oh, yes, your safe place is in God Almighty. Under the shadow of his wings. Oh, under the shadow of the Almighty. Abide there. Live there. Oh, Rabakasunda Rabakasata. Experience the strength that your shield came to give you today. The love that he has in the name of Jesus. Father, I give you thanks and praise that she's been redeemed from the curse of the law. And she has strength and power from within, Father. Like she's never known, Lord. Oh, I thank you, Lord, for just strengthening her with might in her inner man. Oh, Rabakasunda, in Jesus' name. Breathe on a fresh Holy Spirit. Oh, receive the anointing of God in the name of Jesus. As it helps, provides, and strengthens. Oh, fill her up, Father. Fill her up until it overflows. I just speak peace over you. Peace means nothing missing and nothing broken. So I give you thanks and praise, Father. Lord, I thank you for the restoration and the restoring of things that seem to have passed, but they're not, Lord. You're bringing them to pass your way, by your power. I just see like a gate to a mansion being opened up, you know, like when a car pulls up at the gate and the gate opens. But you have the right access. You're a mighty warrior, and you've taken hold of your shield. Never replace it with anything else. The Lord, who is your shield, he is firm.